Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
The motive to share a story, as we've been hearing all this hour, often involves the capacity to make oneself vulnerable. Next week, we're going to explore two of our most vulnerable emotional states, when we're in love or when we're approaching death. What kind of a person are you, by the way? Are you someone who feels more vulnerable thinking about death or about love? Which do you find yourself thinking about more in the course of a day? Which are you, a love person or a death person? Well, call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org. But we want to end this program with a conversation about vulnerability with Brené Brown, author of Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. She thinks a lot about what it takes to be vulnerable.
When you talk about the topics like talk about vulnerability, shame, courage, I think what it brings out in people is this innate human need to be seen and heard. And I think we're wired for story. And when I talk about the importance of it, it gives people permission to say, here's my story. I've got one.
And what is it that causes all the fear? Because vulnerability is not something we yearn for. It's not something we necessarily jump towards all the time.
Well, you know what I think is funny is I think we yearn for it and I think we jump toward it in other people. I think, you know, that's one of the paradoxes of vulnerability is that it's the first thing I look for in you and the last thing I'm going to show you.
So you are reassured by my sense of vulnerability,
right. But
you're protecting yourself.
Right. Because if I see you and I see and you share something vulnerable or you are being vulnerable with me, that's the only way we get to connection. And we are neurobiologically hardwired to be in connection with one another.
This is based on a lot of your research, you know, detailed sociological research into how people behave. How did you come to this as a whole field of study?
Well, it's been a long process to Daring Greatly. I mean, where I started was as really trying to understand the anatomy of connection. What happens in relationships where we feel deeply connected? And that led me on this incredible journey through 6 years of studying shame and fear. What keeps us out of connection is the fear that we're not good enough, which is shame. And then the past 6 years, studying what I call wholeheartedness. When in my research, I'm a qualitative researcher, I'm a story catcher. And so what I found very quickly is that men and women who are really living and loving with their whole hearts, people I would describe as all in, what they have in common, two things emerged as huge variables in my work. The first was worthiness. These folks engage with the world from a place of worthiness.
They feel like they're doing fine. They aren't going, oh, am I measuring up? They're not self-critical.
I think they are self-critical and they're asking that question, but they're answering it in a different way. They're saying, you know what? I'm imperfect. I'm vulnerable. I screw things up on a daily basis, but it doesn't mean I'm not worthy of love and belonging.
We've got plenty of time to talk about this, but is that a place that people have to get to, or you think they are hardwired to be almost from the moment of adulthood?
No, I think they get there. They work. I mean, it's a set of practices. I'll give you a couple of examples. These are folks who practice self-compassion over perfectionism. People who choose rest and play over exhaustion as a status symbol.
We've been listening to Brené Brown telling stories, the author of Daring Greatly, How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead. But we love your stories, and we've been getting them all for the last couple of days. 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Here's someone from Christopher.
Vulnerability is honesty. That relates to, you know, my parents and not wanting to let them really know the context of my life, for example, that I'm gay and things like that. So where vulnerability comes in is being willing to lose them. Since my relationship just ended, I kind of realized how much of my life I was living in a, you know, non-vulnerable, non-honest way. And so I just decided to write an open letter to my entire family and say, we all know that I'm a homosexual, and I just don't think it's worth it to actively avoid the topic anymore. So I'm not going to. My brother called me, and my mother, yeah, I've spoken to them. There's hasn't been any really total active response of, you know, negative. I think it's not as bad as I thought things would be, you know?
So your work is really about how people go from that original place that Christopher talked about to the place where, you know, even worst case scenario, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
You know, one of the big in the book, I talk about four myths of vulnerability. And the big one is that vulnerability is weakness. That's the perception in our culture. Where I have found that I think instead of being weakness, I think vulnerability is our most accurate measure of courage. When you ask people what is vulnerability, when we did as researchers, the answers were, you know, much like the story we just heard, telling the truth about my story, talking to my parents' physicians about hospice, waiting for my mammogram results, my first date after my divorce, starting my own business, trying to get pregnant after a miscarriage. I mean,
these are the experiences that people describe as the most vulnerable.
Right.
And when they get past them, the most meaningful.
Right. And I mean, there's no formula, there's no equation in my mind where those behaviors or choices are weakness.
But it is a weakness to hold on to that sense of not – and I love this listener who says non-vulnerable, non-honest way of living.
Right.
He equates sort of the vulnerability with the dishonesty. Why do we hold on to these things long after it would be in our interest to let go of them?
Fear. I mean, the fear – if we're hardwired for connection, if – I mean, I believe love and belonging are irreducible needs of men, women, and children. If we – if, you know, shame creeps up in our lives and says, don't show up and be seen because what people might see could make you unlovable, that's why we hold on. The problem is vulnerability not spoken doesn't dissipate. It metastasizes. It turns into grief, into resentment, into fear. That's why, you know, daring greatly, it's not the critic who counts. It's about those of us who show up in the arena. And the problem is when you're in the arena and you look up in the seats, the person, the critic you often see is yourself.
Here's another story we want to listen to. This is one of our listeners, one of the stories that we actually assembled ourselves in advance of speaking with you. Listen.
When my little sister, one time, she's about 11 years old. She called, she told me, hey, I'm lost. And we were in London. And I said, well, where are you? She's like, I don't know. I just see a big Ferris wheel. I said, okay, well, does it look like Buckingham Palace? She started looking around. She's like, oh, I think so, maybe. So she was vulnerable, and I was trying to direct her where I was at the time. When she got home, she told me, hey, I felt so scared. It was dark. It was midnight. I was like, well, what were you doing there? She's like, I got lost. I said, well, okay. Well, how do you feel now? She's like, I feel better. I feel home. I feel like I'm loved. So after you're out of the dark, and you just feel like you're loved.
After you're out of the dark,
oh, God,
you feel like you're loved. I mean, that's like one of your data points there, although that's such a bad way of describing that great story.
It is amazing. And I mean, and you know what? It's so profound because one of the biggest in corporations, organizations, schools, one of the most vulnerable things we can do that we don't see happening as much anymore is asking for help. You know, to ask for help, to say, I'm lost, figuratively or literally, I need some help, is a tremendous act of courage and vulnerability.
Brené Brown is the author of Daring Greatly, How the Courage to Be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead.